Here's Philip Van Winkle.
In 2 Peter 2, verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So not only did he not spare the angels, but look at verse 5, "and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." God killed, as it were, the entire human race in Noah's day. He had given them so long to repent, but they refused. Every person that lived, with the exception of Noah and his family, met their death the day the earth was covered with water. And so the point that Peter's making is, to these false teachers, you know, if God destroyed the entire human race on that occasion, you think that you false teachers are going to have a shot, that you're going to somehow escape judgment? You can forget it. You're going to get judged too. Verse 6, he says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly." If God destroyed the angels, if God destroyed every human being with the exception of Noah and his family, and then he also destroyed two entire cities and made them an example for all the world that you and I still look at today and say we shouldn't be like them, he says, you false teachers, you better understand you're going to receive your judgment too. We need to constantly look back to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at the world around us. Look at what awaits our cities if we don't change. If we live in a world who says, you know, you think homosexuality is wrong, then you're in the wrong and they're in the right. But God says, if you think those people teaching error, if you think they're going to escape judgment, forget about it. They're going to be judged too. I don't know of every single sin that Sodom and Gomorrah did, but I do know this one sin that they were condemned for, the one that even this very day they are known for, is homosexuality. And they did not escape the judgment of God. And so in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, he's still, in this context, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. He says, "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You know, I used to think that this verse meant that Lot had somehow compromised, but that's not really what this verse teaches. The word vexed in verse 7 is the Greek word kapeneo, to wear out, to labor down, to wear down with toil. And so he delivered just Lot, who was worn out by that filthy lifestyle of the world. In verse 8, the same word, vexed, is a different word. It's a Greek word, basanizo, which is a painful or torment. And so it says that in seeing and hearing, tormented his righteous soul every day by their unlawful deeds. Here's a man living in a sinful city. Every single day he has to put up with the junk that goes on, the garbage that's going on around him. Go back tonight sometime and read Genesis chapters 18 and 19. See if this is not the truth. Here is Lot, and he's described by the Holy Spirit as a just or a righteous man. And as difficult as it might be to accomplish, one thing that we learn from this passage also, not only that the wicked will perish, but we also learn through Lot and through Noah that we can be righteous even in a world where we are surrounded by wickedness. We can still be righteous if we will continue to seek God and His kingdom first and to live according to God's word. Peter tells us that Lot was vexed with this filthy lifestyle. The wicked people that they were living, his righteous soul was tortured every day by the things that he heard, by the things that he saw, by the people that he would have considered his hometown, I guess, maybe Sodom and Gomorrah, the place that he chose to go and live at. And you remember in Genesis chapter 19, in fact, you may just want to turn over there. We're going to talk about it for just a moment. So if you have your Bibles, you're following along. The angels had come to visit, to warn Lot. It was getting time for Lot to go to sleep. And notice what the men of the city did, the people who were living around Lot. Verse 4 of Genesis 19 says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. They called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men which came in with thee this night? Bring them to us, that we may know them.' Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, 'I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly.'" The point is this. They wanted to have a sexual relationship with these men that had come to visit Lot, these angels, and Lot said, "Don't do this wicked thing." But what is Peter's point in all this? Peter brings this up because he's trying to bear in these people's minds, just as Sodom and Gomorrah were living wickedly, God did not miss it. He didn't just forget about it. They were going to be judged. And so, false teachers, listen up, he says. You may be making your money now. Things may be going smoothly now, but you better hear this. You're going to be judged one day. But then in verse 9, we have the contrast. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Someone says, "Well, but why is it that I'm having such a hard time? You know, I'm having a hard time living my daily life. I can't hardly make my bills. Things are just piling up. And here's this sinful person out here. He doesn't care about God. He has things so easy. He's prospering, and I'm not." Peter says, you just hang on. Hang on to what verse 3 says. God's judgment is not sleeping. He's not asleep. You see, not every account is settled in April. Sometimes we like to say that here. God still knows. He's not asleep. All of Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. You know, there was a time when Sodom and Gomorrah was prospering. They were doing so well financially. They were doing well. People were going about living their lives, not caring about God. But the time came when God's judgment was poured out. You know, all the world was flooded. The world had been living however it had wanted to live. But the time came when God was going to judge them, and He did. But He also saved Lot with Sodom and Gomorrah. When He destroyed them, He was able to look and find that righteous man and save him. The world was flooded, but God saw one righteous man and his family, and He saved them. And so, take heart. Don't give up. Just because you see other people maybe prospering and they don't care at all about God, hold on to verse 3, because He knows how to deliver the godly out of trials and temptations. He knows how to save. Verse 10, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and to despise government, presumptuous they are, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities." He just finished talking about angels, right? He talked about those people in Sodom and Gomorrah, and now he brings our minds right back to those false teachers. Those who are living how they like and teaching whatever they want to teach. The ones that this very chapter is talking about. He says, "But chiefly, these false teachers, why, they don't like to be told what is right and what is wrong. In fact, they don't like it in their religious life, but they don't even like it from their government." Generally speaking, folks, when people don't have a respect for God and for His Word, they don't really have much respect for anyone. Peter says they're self-willed. Sure, they describe themselves as sweet-spirited and kind. But you just cross one of them sometime, you're going to see exactly what they're made of. Peter says they're not afraid to speak evil of anyone, not even of dignities. No government, no person in charge of the flock, no elders, no one is going to tell these guys what to do. They already have it all figured out. They're not afraid to speak disrespectfully of those who've given their lives to build up the body of Christ. They'll talk bad about the elders. Now, I want to say sometimes elders do things, and I still don't think it's right that you should talk bad about them. You should go and talk to the elders if they have done something sinful, but not these men. No, no, no. They just go right ahead and talk bad about the elders. But you better know this, Peter says. You might be prospering now. Things might be looking up for you now. But you'll be judged. There's coming a day. And here's what the false teacher says. Hey, I'm okay. I'm all right. Things are going good for me. Peter's point is, he didn't miss the judgment with the angels. He didn't miss the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't miss the judgment of Noah and the whole world in the days of Noah. And he's not going to miss yours either. Verse 11, where the angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. Even the angels have a respect for the authority over them. Angels don't use this kind of, don't have this kind of attitude, and yet these people do. They say, well, I know about this because I have a certain knowledge about the Holy Spirit told me to do this, or the Holy Spirit said for me to do that. Even angels know better than to say stuff like that. Angels know better than to deceive one another, to bite and to devour the way that these false teachers are doing. And then in verse 12, he compares them to brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They speak evil. They say all these nice words. They say all these things. But Peter calls them brute beasts, speaking evil about things that they don't even understand. And then he says they're going to die. They're going to perish, notice, in their own corruption. You see, folks, it doesn't pay to go along with someone who's teaching error, because they will die in their corruption. But folks, if you've supported it, we want you to know something today. You too will die in yours.